shattering myths. The reason that we spend the first hour focused on the myths associated with religious and economic schemes, political and military schemes, is so that you might come to understand why Yahweh has asked us to walk away from our country. And from Babel, which is from the confusion that underlies religious and political, economic, and military schemes. And so, rather than trust them and rely upon them, as have so many people become dependent upon them, God says, if you trust them, you're going to be disappointed. And he explains the cause and consequence of becoming reliant on one's government, become reliant on one's religion, becoming reliant on a economic or military scheme. The moment you begin to be patriotic and praise your military for protecting you, you are reliant on your military. You are reliant on your government. God does not want you in that position. He specifically wants you to walk away from that, and that's the message of his Torah. Of his Torah guidance. It says, rather than rely upon human institutions, which will always fail you, come instead to rely on me, because I am dependable. And so we've been considering a summation of Yah's Torah teaching in his Torah, observing what he inspired Moshe, the one who draws us away from human political, religious, military, and economic oppression into God's promised land, his home. This is from Devarim 4:7. I'm going to review some of what we considered in our program on Friday and then move on to an expanded discussion. God says, for indeed, this is trustworthy and reliable. Whatever person from any race or place, goy, has significant value relationally, his goal is to approach and be near God. He strives in accord with Yahweh, our God, calling and inviting all of us to God. As with everything God says, this is particularly germane, particularly instructive when we are observant and we consider what the words karob, to approach and be near, and kara, calling and inviting, represent. And if we simply look over them from afar and don't consider them carefully, we miss much of what is being conveyed here. You see, the kara speak of the mikra, which are God's invitations to be called out of this world and to meet with him. God wants us to be in accord with these things. And he wants us to tell people about these things. Likewise, the entire purpose of these mikra are so that we can approach and be near God. These are related things, and they are the essence of his Torah teaching. They form the very foundation of his guidance to us. It's the purpose of the covenant. He goes on to say, and whatever individual, regardless of race or place, who has merit in the relationship, for him, the clearly communicated prescriptions, these are the choke, the inscribed means to be cut into the relationship, and the means to achieve justice and resolve dispute, this is the misbot, the basis upon which good judgment is exercised and sound decisions are made. For them, they are right, they are proper, and they are vindicating, they are tzedek, they are righteous, and they are perfect, just as the case with the whole of the Torah. This is what I am bestowing and placing before you all on this day. So as Paul says that there is no righteousness in the Torah, God says just the opposite, that the whole of the Torah is tzedak. It's righteous. It's vindicating. Where Paul says there is no salvation in the Torah, God says that my means to resolve the dispute between man and God is the essence of the Torah, because the Torah includes not only the means to achieve justice, but also my clearly communicated prescriptions on life. So God is telling us once again that regardless of your race, this is written for goy, people from every race and place on earth, if you are going to have merit in the relationship with God, then you are going to focus on and recognize that the clearly communicated prescriptions for living that cut us into the relationship and the means that God has used to resolve disputes, that they are right, that they are proper, that they are vindicating, that they are forthright and righteous. And that is the same with everything that is presented in the whole of the Torah. The Torah here is written T-W-R-H. It speaks of that instruction and teaching, the guidance and direction, the signed, written, and enduring means to search for, to find, and to choose. The instruction, the guidance, and the direction, which provides answers which facilitate our restoration and return, which are pleasing, beneficial, and healing, even right, purifying and cleansing, thereby giving us the opportunity and means to change our thinking and direction to one which is more fortuitous and beneficial. That is the very definition of the word Torah as it is described in Hebrew. That's what Moshe laid before us for our consideration. And so, speaking of this Torah and of examining it, Moshe was inspired to say, only, exclusively, and without exception, be observant. Pay attention, closely examine, and carefully consider everything as your goal. Then he defines what it means to be observant. Pay especially close attention. Speaking again of Shamar. And be aware of your soul, lest you forget the words which you have seen with your eyes. How do we observe the Torah? We use our eyes to examine the words contained therein. And so all of this Christian myth that we cannot observe the Torah because to observe the Torah is to keep laws is shattered. Moshe has clearly told us, as has Yahweh, that his Torah is comprised of teaching that helps us execute good judgment, that is comprised of guidance that tells us how to live our lives so that we are cut into his covenant. And he tells us that to observe is to use your eyes to read the words that are inscribed therein. And he says, only be observant and pay especially close attention to your soul, lest you forget the words which you have seen with your eyes, and lest they are removed from your heart. All the days of your life you should make them known to your children and to your children's children. There are two ingredients that are essential in the process of exercising good judgment, of benefiting from free will, and that is to know the truth, and then through proper thinking and the discipline of thought to understand what the evidence is conveying. And so God wants us to be observant, so we come to know what he is offering, and then to think about it so that we understand it and are in a position to capitalize upon it. This continues. And Yahweh instructed and guided Sawa, me, at this time, just as he has instructed and guided you and I through his Torah at this time, that she would teach us regarding the clearly communicated prescriptions. The purpose of the Torah is to guide and instruct. It is to teach. And she here represents the set-apart spirit, our spiritual mother, who does not independently enlighten us, but who inspires us to better understand the Torah when we are observing it with our eyes, when we are reading it. And she is going to teach us the very same choke that Yah spoke of being in his Torah, the clearly communicated prescriptions for living, which are inscribed and cut us into the relationship. And also the very means to achieve justice and resolve disputes that Yah said were consistent with the whole of his Torah teaching, his mitzvot. Why? So that we act upon them, so that we celebrate them, so we profit from them. accordingly. In the land which relationally you will all pass over, crossing the Jordan to that place as your inheritance. Our inheritance is given through our adoption papers, which are contained in the Torah, where Yah guides us to the promised land. We leave the wilderness and enter his home by way of the guidance that he has provided in his Torah. And he says now that if you don't do this, you're likely to promote or accept a different perspective and understanding. So if you don't observe the Torah, if you don't teach the Torah to your children, you are likely to promote or accept a different perspective and understanding of the heavens. And you will see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the command and control implements of the heaven, and you will be seduced, led astray, scattered, and banished. You'll be enticed and drawn away, and you will find yourself bowing down in worship, even speaking to these things, and you shall serve them, which relationally is seductive, it's deceiving, it's dividing, and it's separating every individual who is so beguiled from Yahweh your God, and with them all of their families and everyone that is under the heavens. God has told us there is an antidote for being deceived. There is a means to keep from being fooled. It is his Torah teaching. If we ourselves observe the Torah, which is to examine it with our eyes, which is to read it and to consider it so that we are guided by it, that we will not be beguiled, nor will our children. But that if we refrain from this, if we follow Pauline doctrine, if we accept Christianity, and we instead avert our eyes from the Torah, and instead place our faith in this misnomer of the gospel of grace, if we do these things, and we ignore the invitations that Yah has given us to walk from our polluted world to his perfect home, and we ignore the terms and conditions of the covenant, and we ignore his Torah guidance, then we will be beguiled. We will be seduced and led astray. We will be led to worship. We will serve that which is not God. We will be divided and separated from Yahweh. And not only us, but our families as well. This is an extraordinarily important and profound message. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. You can engage in this discussion or challenge anything that you hear by calling toll-free 877-300-7645. The reality is, and God has said it as clearly as words allow, that nothing is more seductive, more beguiling, more destructive than religious worship. And yet, in our overt defense of, our overt defiance, I should say, of Yahweh's instructions, mankind has done this very thing. We have turned images of men, of women, and the natural environment, the sun, the moon, and the stars, into objects of worship. The examples are countless, and they permeate every religious and political institution on earth. As a result, nearly everyone has been deceived, has been separated from God, and led astray to their ultimate demise. This kind of behavior has a consequence. I mean, the symbol of Christianity is a cross. It's a sun god image. It was first conceived in Babylon, the capital T being the name of Tammuz, the son of the sun. It is so designated because the sun crosses the constellation of Taurus the bull, the primary guise of Satan, during the day where the days and nights are of equal length during the vernal equinox. It is a symbol that was particularly worshipped in Egypt, and even to this day in the Ankh cross, where you have the circular orbit of the sun, the circular shape of the sun sitting above a cross. You have the American flag with its stars. You have the obelisks in Washington and the Vatican, which are legacies of sun god worship, where it catches the first and the last rays of the sun as they point skyward. Few things have been as costly as ignoring this advice from God to say, don't do this. If you read my Torah, if you embrace my Torah, if you observe my Torah, if you learn from my Torah, if you teach my children or your children my Torah, then that's the antidote from being deceived. So we expose and condemn religion and politics and what it represents because God says that it is deceptive, it's beguiling, and that the only way to save people from being harmed by man's institutions is to teach them the Torah, to invite them to the Torah, to encourage them to observe God's Torah. And that, my friends, is the essence of this program. That is the entire reason this program exists. We are communicating God's invitation to observe His Torah so that you will be freed of the deceptive and beguiling nature of human religious and political institutions. And so that instead of relying on them, you will come to know and rely upon Yahweh and will be adopted into His family. That's why this next statement reads, the goal is for you to be observant, to closely examine, carefully consider, to thoroughly investigate and thoughtfully evaluate, lest you ignore and forget Yahweh, your God's family-oriented covenant relationship, which as a result of this relationship He has cut with you all, and you create for yourselves an idolatrous image, a representation of anything which Yahweh, your God, has instructed and directed you regarding. That's the summation of this teaching. God wants us to be observant, not to believe. Belief is the antithesis of being observant. With belief and faith, one doesn't have to observe anything. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to understand anything. But to be observant, you are coming to know. You are coming to understand. So the goal is to be observant. The goal is not to believe. The goal is to be observant. Because when you observe Yah's testimony in His Torah, you come to know Him. And when you come to know Him, you come to trust Him. So the goal is to be observant, lest you forget, lest you ignore Yahweh your God. And it is true that by not being observant, Christians have been beguiled into believing that Jesus Christ is God. If they knew the Torah, they would not be so beguiled. They would know Yahusha. They would understand what Yahusha means, which is that Yahweh is the one who is saving us. And if we, as a people, observed Yah's Torah, then we would not lose sight of the significance of Yahweh, our God's family-oriented covenant relationship. Because the covenant is the essence of the Torah. It is the reason the Torah exists. It is the only means to the Torah. Without the Torah, the covenant is unknown. And if you were without the Torah, you're beguiled into believing the myth of a New Testament. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. God here has been extraordinarily explicit. He has said that the goal for us too is to be observant. And the reason that He wants us to be observant is so that we do not ignore or forget Yahweh's family-oriented covenant relationship. The purpose of the Torah teaching, He wants us to observe the Torah so that we don't ignore or forget the covenant. The covenant is the only means to achieve a relationship with God. The covenant is the only means to be saved by God. The covenant is the only means to be adopted into God's family. It is the benefits of the covenants that represent all aspects of our salvation. The salvation literally is a byproduct of the covenant. Without the covenant, there is no salvation. And so, God's telling us to observe His Torah teaching so that we do not ignore, we do not forget, we cease to be mindful of Yahweh's family-oriented covenant relationship. That is the entirety of it. And this is the relationship, singular, which he has cut with us. And he says, now, if you do ignore my Torah, and therefore you're not mindful of my covenant relationship, then you will find yourself creating for yourselves idolatrous images. Even though I have told you not to do so. So he says now, going on in Devarim, this is 4:25 and 26, indeed, when you have children and your children have children and you endure a long time in the land and you corrupt it by creating for yourselves idolatrous images, objects of worship, representations of anything, or in his eyes you do that which is against his standard, according to Yahweh your God, provoking him to anger. I will be called to be a witness and testify against you that day in association with the spiritual realm in the heavens and in accord with the material realm of the earth. And indeed, you will die and be completely destroyed, ceasing to exist, vanishing quickly. Now, this is really an interesting thing. If you think about what is being said here, what Yahweh is inspiring Moshe to tell us is that when our children and our children's children, in fact, now when we today corrupt our world, filling it with the idolatrous images of politics and religion, with patriotism and militarism and economic schemes, that when we do these things and when we lose sight of that which God has told us in his Torah, that we not only provoke him, but it's Moshe's scribing of the Torah, Moshe's teaching of the Torah, which will be held against us. The vast preponderance of people have chosen to reject Yah's Torah teaching, to embrace religious idolatry, and as a result, it's the Torah that they rejected that will be the source of their ultimate demise. So the Torah is like all things of God. If you embrace its teaching, you'll be adopted into his family. If you reject it, it will be your loss. You will literally cease to exist. God isn't saying that if you reject the Torah, that you'll be tortured in hell. That would be make the him unlovable, and therefore the Torah, the covenant, meaningless. God is saying simply that my covenant and my Torah provide the lone source of a relationship with me and the lone source of life everlasting. If you choose to ignore my teaching, if you reject my teaching, if you corrupt your world and your lives and your children with religious imagery, that you will cease to exist. And it will happen quickly. This is avad avad. That upon your death you will perish, vanishing into nothingness, that you will die and be annihilated, your whereabouts completely unknown, your lives squandered and wasted, and that this will happen without delay. Devarim 4:25 and 26. And you should want, God is saying, therefore, to be observant and to be consistently searching. This is from the Hebrew, because you should choose to persistently and genuinely seek, diligently examining the available information, consistently and carefully investigating the evidence, always inquiring and looking from wherever you are, and you will discover and actually encounter Yahweh your God. So when Yahusha says seek and you will find, here he is telling you where you should search his Torah. And no matter where you are, no matter when you live, if you are observant, constantly searching his Torah teaching, then, and only then, will you discover and actually encounter Yahweh your God. If you want to meet Yahweh, open up his Torah. If you want to get to know God, read his Torah. You can observe God in the words of the Torah. It is there that he proves his existence and he declares his name. He reveals his identity, and especially important, he unveils the very guidance that enables us to be part of his family, to engage in a personal relationship with him, and as a result of that, to be saved by him. So it is by being observant and constantly searching, no matter where we are or where we live, that we will come to discover and actually encounter, that you will find the information regarding and experience Yahweh, our God. Indeed, you should constantly and carefully seek to know him and to rely upon him. This from the Hebrew daras. You should habitually and consistently inquire about, study, consult, and search after him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. During the time adversity and emotional stress approach you, and all of these words find you, especially those in the last days, then you should choose to return and be restored forever and eternally to Yahweh, your God. Here is the Torah, Yah's teaching, written to us, the very people who are living in the last days, a time of adversity and emotional distress, of anguish, of oppression, of approaching tribulation. So during this time, during the last days, as we encounter adversity and emotional distress, turmoil and tribulation, it is in these words, the words found in the Torah, that especially those of us during the last days will find the ability to return and to be restored, to change forever and eternally, coming back home to Yahweh our God. Devarim 4:30. You should persistently listen and consistently pay attention to Shama with respect to his audible message. Listen to him. How do you do that? Well, we learned we observe with our eyes. We listen by reciting his Torah testimony. For indeed, God is loving and merciful. Yahweh, your God, will not falter. He will not abandon you. He will not allow you to be destroyed, and he will not ignore or overlook the family covenant relationship, which relationally and beneficially he promised to our fathers. So God is saying, persistently listen to what he has to say. How do you listen to what he has to say? Read the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, where God speaks to us in first person. And when you do that, you'll find that he is loving and merciful, rakum, sympathetic, prone to provide undeserved favors, deeply devoted, tender, loving, and passionate. The very God who we learned just two statements ago was prone to anger is also loving. In fact, you cannot be loving unless you are prone to anger. Paul's letter to the Corinthians that spoke of love as if it was never angered was a lie. If you are not angered by those things which preclude love, then you have not the capacity for love. And so God is telling us here that if we pay attention to him, we will find that he is loving and merciful, which is why he is so hostile to those things which deceive and beguile, foreshortening our lives, taking us away from him. But for those of us who come to know that Yahweh is merciful by observing and listening to his Torah teaching, they will find a God there who is dependable, who will never abandon us. That's the difference between God and human institutions. He will never allow us to be destroyed, which is the antithesis, again, of human political and religious institutions. He will never ignore or overlook his family-oriented covenant relationship. It is the reason the universe exists. It is the reason life was conceived. It is the reason the Torah was authored. is to present his one and only family-oriented covenant relationship, his bereth. And it is this agreement, this one and only agreement, that he promised to our fathers. You yourself, God says, have been given the ability to see and perceive. To ra'ah, you have been prepared to use your sense of sight to be observant. And you have been eternally equipped to make judgments based upon those observations and perceptions, to pay attention throughout time, to be shown, to discover, and to always experience, so that you come to actually know, yada, to be aware of, to be familiar with, to actually recognize and acknowledge that indeed, Yahweh, he is Almighty God. There is not another apart from him. There is no God named Jesus Christ. There is no God named Allah. There is no God who bears a human name. When you come to recognize what Yahweh has conveyed, when you are diligent in your examination, when you have studied his testimony, you come to the undeniable conclusion that God can be known. Faith is irrelevant. It's counterproductive. God can be known. And indeed, once you know him, you know that he has but one name, Yahweh, and that Yahweh alone is God. There is no God apart from him. There is no means to engage in a relationship with God apart from his testimony. Again, that is the purpose of his Torah teaching and of this program. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello, welcome back to the final segment of the Torah Hour of Shattering Myths. For those who would like to engage in the discussion, there's still time to call 877-300-7645. God is has been extraordinarily frank with us, telling us the importance of his Torah teaching, what to focus on in the Torah, which is the means to resolve disputes, which would be God's plan of salvation, his prescriptions for living, which would be the very essence of the covenant and how to embrace the covenant. And he's told us that by observing his Torah teaching and by listening to his testimony, that we will come to know him and that we will benefit from embracing this relationship with him. And he's even said that the heart and soul of the Torah, the very purpose of the Torah, is so that we come to know the covenant that is so meaningful to God and what it specifically represents. So God says you should observe, you should choose to closely examine and consider his clearly communicated prescriptions of what we should do in life to live, his choke, and his terms and conditions of his covenant contract, his mitzvah, which relationally he has instructed and directed us, Yahweh. Because as a result of the relationship, Yahweh is good. He is beneficial. And also on behalf of our children, for the express purpose of elongating our days. The only means to life eternal, to perpetual existence with God, is by embracing the terms and conditions of his covenant, which are found in only one place, the Torah. There's only one place where you can come to know Yahweh, that's the Torah. There's only one place where you can fall in love with Yahweh, that's the Torah. There's only one place where you can find the covenant, that's in the Torah. There's only one place where the terms and conditions of the covenant are revealed, that's the Torah. There's only one place where the benefits of the Torah are shown, that's the Torah. There's only one place where you can learn about the invitations, where you can read the invitations to meet with God and to be saved by him. And that is the Torah. You disregard the Torah and you have tossed aside all of these things. Toss aside the Torah and God becomes unknown it becomes impossible to form a relationship with God, and there is no salvation. Therefore, the purpose of the Torah is to tell us that God is good for us, and that his express purpose is to make us happy and to extend our lives. This is the Torah. It is the Torah. Yes, this is the Torah, which provides, which as a result of the relationship, God placed before us. And he placed before Moshe and the children of Yisrael. So all of these things, the covenant, the means to know Yahweh, the means to engage in a covenant relationship with him, this is the Torah, which relationally and as a result of this relationship beneficially, Yahweh himself placed before Moshe and before the children of those who want to engage, strive, endure, and persist with God. This is Devarim, Deuteronomy 4:44. The Torah has been defined. The Torah is comprised of the means to resolve disputes, to exercise good judgment, it's comprised of prescriptions for living. It's comprised of the covenant. It is the place where we come to know God. It is the place where we learn of God's mercy. It is the place where our days are elongated. It is the antidote for all religious corruption. This is the Torah. This is the witness and the testimony. This discussion continues. The clearly communicated prescriptions of what you should do in life to live, the inscribed recommendations which cut us in to the covenant, and this is the means to achieve justice and resolve disputes, which God spoke to Moshe and the children of Israel when he led them away from the oppression and judgment occurring in the crucible of Egypt. And so, my friends, the Torah and God's witness and testimony are synonymous, according to God. God's word, God's witness, and God's Torah teaching are one and the same. And if you observe them, you will find therein his prescriptions on what we should do in life to live and to be cut into this relationship. And you will find the means that God will use to resolve any dispute which separates us from him. There is nothing more important in the entire universe, nothing more valuable or beneficial than Yah's Torah teaching. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free...